At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
During the summer when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So, stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Hey, what up? Welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball. And you're about to hear part three of Josh Lucas. An unbelievable tale of a guy who grew up really tough background in Ohio. Some abuse. Just again, like if you listen to part one and part two, like, wow, that's tough. But then somehow made it to Harvard as a football player. Got injured, never really played. Became just a grunt in the NFL and worked his way all the way up to director of player personnel with Chicago Bears. But that's not where the story ends. And we'll get to all of that in part three. Let me quickly give you a little hoop here. Because we are coming out of the All-Star break. And before we get to, like, talking about the teams and who's actually going to win and who's actually any good or whatever, like, how do we reconcile? Maybe not we, but I don't know, is we. How do you reconcile the fact that, like, the All-Star game is a joke? So how do we talk about the All-Star game when I think everybody who loves basketball just views it as a complete and total fucking joke? Right? Like, dude, I get it. I actually do get it. 82 games, a lot of road trips. No matter how much it's, we are staying at great hotels. We are flying on private planes. And this is not yesteryear, but most of these guys are playing far less than players played 5 years ago, 10 years ago, definitely 15, 20 years ago. The conditions are better. The treatment is better. And so, okay, the time off is too short. And like part of it is a lot of these guys, they're so corporate now that when they play their last game, they immediately they fly to Indianapolis. And they have meetings, and they do things with sponsors, and they have photo shoots. They jam it all in to like 2 or 3 days. And then they're like, yeah, if I play a game, I'm just exhausted. And I don't, okay, so let's figure out a better way to do it. And I think I figured it out. All-Star Weekend is Pro Bowl and NBA All-Star Weekend. Okay? And like, look, if you want more time off, everything is a give and take. Everything is give and take. You can't just do the take and take. You got to do the give and take. Okay, so if you want a longer stretch of time off for a break, then a couple things. One, you're going to have to commit to playing more of the games. And two, we're going to have to jam pack some of these games together on both sides of the break. It's doable, but that's the way to do it. And so what I would propose is, you play the All-Star game, you coincide it with the Pro Bowl, whatever activities there are. And then that week, which is Super Bowl week, after the, you know, I know that the NFL has been alternating, you know, where they go 1 week before the Super Bowl and then 2 weeks for the Super Bowl. When the 2 weeks for the Super Bowl, Pro Bowl is played in the middle. The NFL should just keep it at 1 week in the middle. Or you can do it when the NFL does the 1 week and then the Pro Bowl is afterwards, or the Pro Bowl games or whatever are afterwards, that's when the All-Star break is for the NBA. Same time. And you give the stars of the NBA, you give them the Super Bowl off. Right? Give them that whole week off. give him that whole week off, or give him the week. If the Pro Bowl's before that, you give him that week off. The Pro Bowl's after that, you give him the week after the Super Bowl off. And you give them like a legit like 10-day break. That's fine. But then what you can't do is like, hey, now we can't be complaining about playing hard in the All-Star game. You know, now we just can't do that. Because look, I've never taken it seriously, but you can't take it as even an unserious basketball game. Like the Globetrotters play more competitive and more compelling games than the NBA All-Star game. That was awful. And I said this on radio and I mean it. Like, you know what leadership is? It's sorely missing from LeBron James. I get it. He's 39. He don't want to play hard now. But this has been a trend. And, you know, where is the NBA star that's able to get guys to just play? Is it really that hard to play a little bit of defense? Like, we can get other guys in here. You can play for 2-3-4 minute stretches, and then we can sub you out. You're not going to get hurt. Like, that whole thing is so stupid. But what you do is you turn off people instead of turning them on. And you also have to remember that right now the NBA is, they're negotiating their next media rights deal. So you're at, you know, NBC and Peacock. You're at ESPN and you're trying to, you know, put things on Disney Plus. You're at Amazon. You're sitting there going like, you guys don't even want to fucking be here or play hard. Want nothing to do with anything. Nobody wants to be in the dunk contest. Like, why would you do this? And why would anybody watch? And why would I invest billions of dollars hoping that the ad sales will continue to pick up when you got a product that they almost thumb their nose at what they're doing? And here's a saying you can use, which I'm not quoting anybody. I was actually working out one day and I came up with it, but I'm sure somebody said it before me. Never complain from where you make your money. And look, we're all guilty of it. If you're in the media, if you do a podcast or you're doing radio, you know what you shouldn't do? You shouldn't complain about either meeting with a potential client, talking to sales, or reading their ads. Do you know why? It's the lifeblood of what you do. Right? Like we have a lot of this with college coaches in complaining about players, administrators. A lot of them, they don't like to do media stuff. They don't like to do things with boosters. Like, hey, guess what? That's what pays your salary. They never complain where you get paid. And if you're the NBA, if you haven't figured out that your sport is a volume play. Because they don't rate individually all that well. But 82 games with 30 teams, right? You can pool those ratings and you can sell it for billions of dollars. But if you only play 50, it's a lot harder because, I mean, what's the lifeblood of the NBA or professional sports? Gambling and television. Well, nobody wants to watch it if the stars aren't playing, and how can you bet on it if you don't know who's playing? But you know what the NBA does? They complain where they make their money. It's a mistake. And it's not like it's going to bring down the league, but it's the reason that the European players have taken over the league. 30% of the NBA is European, is because they're not about the stuff that we're about. Right? They're not usually about the glitz and the glam. They don't do the walk in and have their own clothing design. They just go out there and fucking hoop and kick our ass. Pass the ball, positionless basketball. They don't have the speed and athleticism, but they got the guile and the toughness. I mean, fuck, Giannis can't shoot. He's been the NBA's MVP. Jokic can't move. He's been the NBA's MVP and the finals MVP. So is Giannis. Like, don't get me wrong, they're 6'10", 6'11", whatever, but they're not about those things. Our guys are about things not pertaining to basketball. Not all of them, but many of them about things not pertaining to basketball. And then they complain from where they get paid. Let's get to part three. Here's Josh Lucas.
What's that like to get that? You get that job and you have this secret.
Terrifying.
And now you're also not you're in the building every day, right? Whereas when you're a scout, you can kind of do your own thing. Just get your work done. Nobody says nothing to nobody. Now you got to be in every day and you're an executive.
Terrifying. I remember having tears in my eyes on the flight on the way there to sign the contract. Knowing that, you know, in the back of my mind, I knew that I needed to stop, but I wasn't quite sure how I was going to stop. And then once I got there and that job started to roll, that's when, like, you think you're busy as an area scout. Now you're a personnel director. You're trying to manage people and you're trying to get all this work done. For me, it got worse. So I needed more medication to make sure I was getting everything done. So I'm fighting this demon of I need to stop. And so I kept telling myself, I'll stop after the draft. You know, once we get some time down, I'll stop. And I just kept fighting that demon for it was 2.5 years until after the draft in 2017. I just got to the point where it was hard to function. My boss clearly knew that I needed help, and they saved my life. But, you know, Ryan Pace and John Tarpey, the security director of the Chicago Bears, came to my house and they had an intervention and said, "Hey," and I wanted help. I didn't fight it. And the very next day, I was in treatment, and that's how, you know, that's you know. The only once you're fully addicted, it's death, institution, or jail. Like, no one stops on their own. No one just wakes up one day and kicks a habit, especially an opioid habit like that. And so for me, I was fortunate enough that, you know, I've never gotten any trouble. And obviously I'm still here, that I had people around me that cared about me and knew I was struggling, and wanted to get me help. And, that knock on my door on I'll never forget it. It was about 10 p.m. at night, and they came in and made sure that there was nothing in the house and came and picked me up the next morning and took me to treatment.
How long was treatment?
Treatment in May of 2017. It was probably a total of 6 to 8 weeks total. You know, I was a week in locally here in a detox center. I was away in Austin, Texas for about 35 days. And then I went to an IOP situation here for about 5 or 6 weeks until we started back up work. And so it was a total of probably like 6 weeks for that first time.
What is that like to walk into work the first day? Because you already had anxiety. You know, you already had, they think they're a fraud. I forget, imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you had that natural imposter syndrome. Now you come back to work, and you had to, in your mind, think, everybody thinks I'm a drug addict. Everybody think, right? How'd you deal with that?
That's the amount of support that I had when I was away, from obviously the people inside the building, top to bottom, was amazing. And obviously there were some nerves and you're concerned about how you're viewed. But the other side of it, Doug, I was just so relieved that I had gotten help and that I wasn't controlled and I wasn't living, you know, day to day being just, you know, a prisoner of trying to find medication to get through the day. So when I got back to work, I was excited to get going. I remember feeling that I got a true second chance. And I knew that I was going to be able to give more of my true self. And I wasn't going to be, you know, operating with an arm tied behind my back. So for me, it was more of like, I was excited to get back and get started. And it's training camp, and you know, it was a good experience, you know, when we got back to work.
And at that moment, the Bears are good, right? Playoff team.
No, it was 2017. So it was Coach Fox's third year. We were kind of turning the corner a little bit. But you know, obviously, it was the Mitch's first year.
Yep.
Coach Fox's third year. And, you know, we didn't have a very successful season overall, but, you know, obviously building some important pieces on the defensive side of the ball. And then obviously we were excited about the first year quarterback. And that following off season is when we made some changes and then had the very successful season in 2018.
Right. Okay. Let's discuss the quarterback, because that was kind of a big draft. Why Mitch? Why not Watson? And maybe more importantly, why not Mahomes?
For sure. So, you know, I think for us, you know, just from grade perspective, just to simplify it, the grades, the highest grades on the two players were Mitch and Mahomes, as far as like first round grades, guy we'd be willing to select, you know, in the top 10 of the draft. We just didn't have the grades on Deshaun from a collective standpoint in the building.
Did you know any of this other stuff? Because when I've talked to a couple people and they're like, we researched it. We didn't know about any of the other stuff. Was it strictly football? Or was it?
No. Yeah. The character on all three guys were clean. You know, I think, you know, you'd have to talk to each person that evaluated them to, you know, to get their opinion on the player. I think for me, I didn't think the instinctive off-script playmaking would be as transferable as it ended up being in the NFL. You know, when you look at like the wow moments he had in college, can he do that consistently in an NFL setting when you're playing against NFL players? That was the biggest question mark I had on personally, and obviously was wrong, because he came into the league and was still able to perform at, you know, at an exceptional level off script, making those incredible instinctive athletic plays.
Okay. And then what about Mahomes? What spooked you on Mahomes?
So nothing, obviously, I wouldn't say anything spooked us on Mahomes. It was just more of liking Mitch better. And I think it was, we actually tried to play it safe. We felt the floor for Mitch was higher. We felt the ceiling for Mahomes was higher. He had a bigger upside, more physical traits, but we thought there was less failure with Mitch. You know, with Mahomes coming from an offense where that quarterback, that system had never produced, you know, an NFL quarterback. Very same questions, like Mahomes's tape, the wow moments, like the no-look throws, the throws that, you know, outside the pocket, 60 yards down the field. Can you really do that in the NFL? Where we thought Mitch was the more safe option, less chance of missing, with the defense we had building. I think collectively we felt like, we can't miss this pick. And it's that conservativeness and not being aggressive ended up causing us to miss on the pick. And obviously, you know, the rest of the story, Mahomes not only can do the off script, incredible playmaking stuff, but he's also amazing inside the pocket, playing on time, and playing within the rhythm of the offense, probably one of the best quarterbacks ever to do it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
When did you know that Mitch didn't have it?
The second year, you know, I think in Coach Nagy's, it was Mitch's second year, Coach Nagy's first year. But there was a lot of optimism still. You know, we had the great year. Mitch had an improvement from his first year. You know, we obviously went to the playoffs. The game we lost, you know, playoff game, he throws for 300 yards. He takes us down in a 2-minute situation, sets us up for a game winning field goal. The double doink. And I thought there was some optimism amongst the entire building, even going into that offseason. But then I would say in the third year, when there was more, instead of another year of progression, when I said there was regression, and then you start seeing the same issues show up over and over again. Because I think when you're as a staff and early on, you think he's going to improve from, okay, he doesn't see things as fast. Well, he will as he gets more time and as he has more experience in the NFL. Well, when you're seeing those processing issues in the third year show up over and over again, that's when you start to, get that feeling in your stomach like, oh, this isn't going the way that we planned. And then obviously when you're watching the other two guys have the success, you know, for me personally, coming home at night every night and turn on the TV and it's a Patrick Mahomes commercial, you're like, that's hard. It's hard. You know, I don't tell it any differently. I don't tell it any differently to anyone. I tell the experience, tell the story to, like, that's a tough deal. You know, it's the chance to get the first franchise quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears, remake this, organization that is so just, obviously historical and so well known, but they've never had that guy. Knowing that we had a chance to take that guy and it was right underneath our fingertips. Not only is, not even talking about how good Deshaun Watson is, but like Patrick Mahomes, not only is a great quarterback, he might be the best quarterback ever to play game.
Yes.
And knowing that that was, the decision we made, obviously caused a tremendous amount of, pain and frustration and angry and every emotion you can think of.
Okay, but considering your own emotional issues, how have you processed that?
Yeah, my biggest thing when I got back to work was I thought I was cured. Like, I thought I was good. These are the few basic things I need to do. For me, it always comes down to my mental health condition. Like, I always have to make sure my mental health's in check. When I feel good mentally, like, I don't have any urge to use any kind of substances or to self-medicate and to change the way I feel. And for me, I got back to work and I was working and I was going to meetings every day and, I was doing the things I needed to do, but I didn't quite get everything. Like, I kind of created my own program, my own way of, staying mentally fit and staying sober, but I wasn't doing the real work. And all these pressures started to mount up again. It wasn't just what was going on at work and us not having the success that I thought we had, but same stuff going on back home that still is unresolved to this day. Just in my personal life, like, things started to mount up and to pile up, and I didn't reach out for help the way I needed to. This is 3 years in December of 2021, is when I relapsed
that's 2020. So that's where are we in COVID? Because COVID was
2020,
right? Did that exacerbate it? Did that make it worse?
No, COVID was, for me, didn't change, much. I thought personally, from a work standpoint, like probably the draft that I felt like I knew the most and like, man, I wish I could make every pick in this draft because we just got sent home and all we did was watch film. I was just in my house. You weren't traveling to pro days. You weren't doing nearly the amount of, combine. Actually, it was after the combine, but like the amount of stuff that takes you away from your office and takes you away from the actual film time. So for COVID, for me, it was, a time of just football, grind tape. And I wouldn't say that had a big impact on, where I was mentally or, how it affected sobriety or anything like that.
What take me through the relapse.
So I was December 8th, I believe. We were playing, that season was just not a great season. We had drafted Justin Fields. We had started out the season playing pretty well. And then, around mid-season, it started to look, as far as our future with the Chicago Bears, it started to look a little more bleak. I was really having a hard time dealing with some stuff at home going on with my dad and my brother. And instead of reaching out for help and doing the things I knew that could help me, feel at peace and be in a good place, I started to have that urge again to change the way I feel, to make myself feel better. And we played the Arizona Cardinals and it was a dreary, nasty day in Soldier Field. One of those games where we did everything possible to lose the game instead of doing everything possible to win the game. And I just remember driving home that night and made the fatal mistake of making a phone call and it started a 2 to 3 week, it was almost 3 weeks of heavy pain pill use. And I felt it right away and knew, it was going in a direction that could get really serious really fast, and it did. And December 18th, I called in and talked to our HR people with the Bears and said, I need to get help right away.
Did they know? Did they already know?
I'm sure people knew. Yeah, I'm sure people could sense that something was going on with me in the building. You're under the influence, of that type of medication, obviously you're going to act different and speak different. And, I'm sure people were aware, but, it was, I'm proud of myself that I asked for help. And obviously it's heartbreaking that the people I let down and that I didn't do the right thing the first time and just get help before the relapse happened. But I knew I couldn't let it go on and risk the things that could have potentially happened if I would have kept going. So yeah, that December 18th, 2021 is when I called in and said, yeah, I need to get help.
It's interesting how you look at it about people you let down. I think obviously you don't want to relapse, but again, you talked about the three options. You're much better off choosing the option of getting help than you are the other two options when you're so addicted to something. So, okay. So then what was that rehab process like?
Obviously I knew either way, I was in jeopardy of, not being employed with the Bears anymore. And I knew I needed time. That's the one thing I dug that I can remember is just like I need to figure this out because this can never happen again. I went away and got help and, we were only 2 or 3 weeks from season's end and the season ended and our general manager, was fired. And so I just kind of, once I got out of treatment, I just kind of stayed at home and they waited for the new general manager to get hired. And then they made the, the you know, they made all the changes on the personnel staff, and the Bears were just absolutely unbelievable, making sure I was okay, making sure I had everything I needed. And for me, that was the point I decided, you know, it was just time to step away and just take a year off, make sure that I figured this out and get everything under control. So when I re-enter the work world and get on with my life, that I'm in a position where this just, you know, won't happen again. And I have just a much better, a foundation underneath me. So that was, it was, you know, heartbreaking, obviously, to see people get let go. And it was, you know, knowing that, you know, I had let a lot of people down. But as far as timing goes, it was good timing for me, to just kind of step away and take some time away from work.
When did you feel like you, because you're, I feel like you're very different this time. When did you feel like that change really took place?
You know, it wasn't as quick as I probably had hoped for. Really, for me, last summer was when I really started to, I feel like, get both components, you know, as far as accepting things in my life that I can't change and control, and knowing how to show up, you know, in my family situation. That really helped stabilize, you know, from a mental health standpoint. And then from a sobriety standpoint, really understanding, you know, that there's a spiritual path, and there's a service component to the whole, you know, to the program that I totally missed before, and really started to feel connected in a much different way last summer, to the point where it was like, I can't believe I've waited. Like, I can't believe it took me this long to get to this point in my life. And I don't know why it took as long as it did, and you know, how I got on, you know, this path. But the one thing it gave me, though, is a real sense of purpose of, man, I can help a lot of people. Mental health brought me to my knees, where there was no way I could see a path where I could live a serene, peaceful life. Drug addiction brought me to my knees, where there was no way I could even envision, like, waking up and living my life without the use of some kind of substance to make me feel okay. Like, I didn't think any of those things were possible. And now I can sit here and tell you that both those things are entirely possible, if you just reach out, ask for help, and do the work. You know, there's two components of it. You got to ask for help, and then you got to make sure you're doing your end of the bargain, you know, and put in the work in every day. And that's what my life will be for the rest of my life, is making sure I'm fit spiritually and fit mentally and physically. And I can control that. That's the beautiful thing of all this, is that is the one thing I can control. I can't control my family situation. You know, I can't control who's going to hire me or not hire me going forward. But I know how I can show up every day and feel good, and make sure that anyone struggling, whether it's mental health or substance abuse, that I can be a resource for them on not only what to do, but to show them that it does work, and you can feel like a completely different person if you ask for help and do the work.
There's a real component there to the, and I know you're doing analyst work for the NBC affiliate in Chicago. I know you're doing some work with some NFL teams, but there has to be at least a portion of, I don't know, fear or anxiety, or just the reality that sharing it with me in an open forum, does that hurt your ability to get back into the NFL? Even though when clean and sober, you're clearly good at your job and you're experienced and like all of those things. I appreciate you joining me. How do you process that? How do you process that? Like, you want to help people, you want to share this so they understand like your mistakes, your successes, your failures. On the other hand, you also want to get back in the league. How do you process that?
Yeah, it's obviously, like many things in my life, something I've just had to come to complete acceptance with. No, only thing I can control is, you know, how I take care of myself and how I show up every day. Anyone that hires me going forward, you know, obviously, you know, they need to know about my past and need to know about my history. And, I'm very open about that. And, it's obviously scary, you know, to think that I can finally be at this point in my life where I could really help an NFL team out, or I could really help, you know, any network that is looking for people to talk about football. And at no point in my life have I ever felt more free mentally and physically where I can contribute. And I might not be able to, but that's just the reality of the situation. And if that happens, you know, there'll be other areas in my life where I can show up and, you know, move on. And you know, it's, I can't be identified by just being a person who worked in football. I would love the opportunity. I think it will happen, and I'll be able to really be able to contribute and help out a team going forward. The next right thing will happen for me. And maybe it is in something in more of a service, you know, related job, where it's, whether it's teaching or educating or helping out people that are struggling with similar issues as me. I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that.
My perspective would be, you'd be incredibly valuable to an NFL team, not just because of your football knowledge, but because you're a real dude with real issues that you've really addressed. And we all have them deep down. Some become, you know, addictions that can dramatically change life. Some are just slightly below the surface that people do a better job of trying different ways, you know, to kind of evolve out of. So that'd be my perspective. But again, that's because I'm a fan of yours and a friend of yours. And I see that only as a positive. But I do know that there are people in this world that, you know, they won't trust an addict. They just won't. You know, they just think an addict's an addict, and it is a lifelong thing. And they would prefer, you know, somebody who didn't have that. The problem is that there are people that you think don't have that that do, and you just haven't learned about it, and they haven't figured it out just yet.
What you said, I totally agree with. There's, regardless of what I try to do professionally, there's going to be people in that industry that just aren't even going to give it a thought to give me an opportunity because of my past. And you know, I completely know that is the case, and that's true. But I also know that there's people in every industry that will be more open-minded. And as long, the biggest thing for me is people need to see me continue to live this way and establish the trust factor with me that that I'm for real in what I'm saying, and that I'm passionate about not only my own you know, health and well-being, but passionate about having an opportunity. Like, I went through Harvard, I went through three different NFL teams, feeling like I was an arm tied behind my back, feeling like this is like 30% of myself. So I know I'm going to be able to give 100% of myself to whoever it is going forward, and whatever that is, you know, is yet to be determined, but I'm confident it's going to be, it's something that I'm going to be able to not only contribute, but also help out a lot of people.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
One professional, one personal. Let's start professional. So you've been a part of two different drafts where you drafted quarterbacks for the Bears. Fields has seen limited success, but it feels likely they'll move on. Again, new regime, two very early first-round picks, and a quarterback-heavy draft. So, again, professional perspective. You're in that room. Drake May feels safe. Caleb Williams feels like Mahomes. But they're, and again, same system, by the way, for Caleb Williams as Mahomes, right?
Exactly.
But they're different people. And the sport is different. But again, you like you learn from the past. So if it was you and they go, Josh, tell me what you really think. What do you really
think? Yeah, I'm going with the guy that has the skill set that's so unique and different. And I'm going to trust that the things that on the tape that you might be concerned with, you're going to be able to coach and develop. So to me, Caleb just has this skill set that, you know, with the amount of off-script playmaking that's being featured in our league right now at the quarterback position, I think he's the most unique guy in this draft class. And he'd be the player that I would select, you know.
Is it an overcorrection because of the Mahomes one?
For me, you know, it's funny because I'm obviously talking about this a lot. And local media stuff that I'm doing. And I think about that all of myself. Like, you know, am I so paranoid of my own miss on Patrick and Deshaun? And that was the area that I really missed on that I'm just being more safe now and going that way. But the more I watch both those guys, I don't feel like it's an overcorrection. I feel like he's got this feel and instinct, not only as a passer, Doug, but like his running ability. That's what people talk about Mahomes all the time. And he's not the most athletic quarterback, but he's the best decision maker and has the best feel for when to run and when to steal a first down with his legs. And you see some of that with Caleb. Not that Drake's not an unbelievable prospect in his own right. I do agree with you. Like, and I've talked to some people in the media and that have told me here, like, I just want the safe guy. Drake looks like an NFL quarterback. He feels like I just want the safe guy. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, we wanted the safe guy too. And he got us fired. So it'll be an interesting decision for them. I do think they will take a quarterback and let Justin move on to another team. If I had to bet my money on it right now, I think majority of the teams feel that Caleb's the number one guy.
You are in a new relationship. You are in a healthy place personally. For somebody who is in a relationship with somebody who has anxiety or even to level of having an addiction, like from the other side, what about your current relationship? How do you handle that if you're the spouse, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the significant other of somebody who's going through things?
It's a great question. And I think anyone that is in a relationship with someone who struggles with a mental health situation or substance abuse, they have to do their work as well. And they have to put in a lot of work if they're going to be willing to make the relationship work and really understand that they need to be able to show up and support, you know, their partner, but they're not going to be able to control and fix it. You know, they're not, you know, if your partner's got a major depression issue or a major drinking habit, there's nothing you can do to make it better. There's nothing you can do to make them drink less or to worry more. You just have to show up, be love and supporting, and know that your partner has to be the one that has to want to change and get better and do the work. And I am extremely fortunate that I'm in a relationship with a woman who is a life coach professionally, and has taught me more personally in these last 2 years. It's taught me as much as I've learned, you know, with my personal doctors and therapists and meetings and so forth. So I'm very fortunate that she has a very good understanding of both situations. She knows it's on me to make sure I'm doing the work. If she feels that I'm slipping in any way, she doesn't overreact. She doesn't try to correct. She makes sure that I'm aware of it. And she knows that I'm the one that has to do my part to not only make sure that I'm doing okay for myself, but that I can show up for her and her needs as well. So it's been a blessing just being in meeting the person that I met at the time I met her. Very serendipitous, very fortunate. I couldn't be more grateful for you know, this relationship that I'm currently in. And like I said, I don't want to go on too much about it, but I feel like I got really lucky.
Christmas, a hard time, good time. What's it like for you in the holiday season?
It all comes back to my dad and what's going on at home. You know, my brother, you know, we were thick as thieves and we did everything together. You know, my memory, Doug, and I think you'll appreciate this, is, you know, we would play our basketball game at the Y. You know, somebody would VHS tape it. We'd come home. First thing we'd do was throw it in, and then we would chart our points, assists, and rebounds. Like, that was us. That's what we did. And everything. And then we went in two completely opposite directions, which has been, you know, extremely painful part of my life, and still to this day currently is. He's struggled with addiction of his own. You know, he's got major mental health issues. He's currently sitting in jail. And you know, the future doesn't look very bright, and he's you know, put a major strain on our family and my relationship with wanting to be at home and wanting to be with my dad. And my dad at 73 years old, you know, is, you know, he's got dementia and the early stages of it and isn't moving around as well. So there's this want for me to be there more and more for him. But it's very hard for me to be there. I'm not going to lie, Doug. Like, it's very hard for me to walk into my childhood home and even to sit in there. Because of all the pain and sadness that still sits in the house. And that's been a huge part of this whole story, is figuring out how to show up for my dad, and do what I can. My oldest half brother, Mike, I talked about at the very beginning, who's the firefighter, in Beechwood, Ohio, outside of Cleveland, has really stepped up and been a major help, to be around my dad more as well, especially when my brother's been sitting in jail for the last several months. So it's hard. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, anything that involves family, when it, you know, comes to holidays, Thanksgiving, you know, the when I know, like, this is a huge time where families are getting together, and I know what's going on in my personal family situation right now. Yeah, I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. It's painful, it's sad, but I am grateful that I can show up now in a way that I couldn't show up when I was abusing drugs, and I can be there and talk to my dad every single day on the phone, and make sure he needs anything whenever he needs anything. And I was just home, you know, last week and got to see him. So it's a tough time, and I just got to make sure that I do what I need to do to be able to show up for my dad when he needs me.
Well, listen, I hope you understand how proud I am to call you a friend. Because a lot of the parts of this story I knew some of, not all of. And then the more I learn, the more I'm just honored to know you. It's reality to me. Because so many of us have problems, myself included. But to push through, to fight it, to do the work is really honorable. And then to express to people that you're doing the work and that you're not perfect. And all that you've gone through and all that you felt is, I mean, it's the stuff of real men, you know? So I hope you understand from my heart to yours. I want to express a ton of love and gratitude for our friendship, but also respect for who you are, what you've been through, what you've accomplished. And I think anybody knows, you know, there's definitely going to be a chapter 3. And I think, you know, this is a good way to get into the new year, you know, where get it all out and we get ready to and kick ass, knowing that I think it's, hey, look, man, there are triggers in all of our lives for things and finding ways to operate. And I had a friend who used to say social jujitsu, but I think it's like personal jujitsu, right? Like using things against you to become your strength. And I think it's a fascinating way, you know, to look at life. But what you're fighting through is tougher than any football game. And I actually think it makes you better at your job when eventually you get your next job.
I appreciate that. And your friendship means a ton to me, and the opportunities you've given me this fall to talk sports and talk ball with you on Thursdays is something I'll forever be grateful for. And even this opportunity here to share my story, I'm grateful.
Well, listen, I'll just be honest with you. I have lots of people that are friends. Lots. They want to come on a radio show all the time. They're just not good at what they do. So yes, it's because of our friendship, but it's also because I kind of think you're awesome at football and expressing it and helping me understand it. And so that's where that one comes from. That one's not as much out of friendship as you think. It's more out of, I just want to soak up all that knowledge.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, brother. Well, listen, I'm so happy you're in a good relationship, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate you.
All right, my thanks to Josh Lucas. What an interesting life. And Josh will join us anytime, kind of update us on where he stands with everything, you know, with handling his addictions, with his life, with football, and with what's next. Then I hope you enjoyed it. I really appreciate Josh joining us. And of course, had a lot of basketball talk at the start. Remember, the Doug Gottlieb Show airs daily, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific. You also can get an hour podcast, which is totally unfiltered about all sports. Pretty cool. Just type in Doug Gottlieb wherever you got this podcast. You can probably get that one as well. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.